we were talking about how to hear God's voice, how to see God, where God is at work, how to perceive what's going on, perceive what it is to step out of our comfort zone, how to hear His voice, how to journal about that, all these kinds of things, and how essential it is to be able to hear the voice of God and see God's presence in order to follow Jesus in our everyday lives. And so today, what I want to do is give the final portion of that, the final way of really engaging with God and hearing from God, and that has to do with dreams. And you saw that Pilate's wife had a dream, and it was very, very significant in what happened. So we're going to unpack that a little bit. But I want to encourage you to be thinking about that as a way to engage with God and to hear God. Now, I personally don't have a lot of dreams that I remember, but there are a few. So I'm going to give you two examples. And they're usually very, very short. I'm convinced that they're dreams of God. I can go over that with you this morning. One dream is this. It was almost like a picture instead of an incident that went on for a little bit. It's like a picture. It was in the house that we lived in Pennsylvania, and parked outside of the garage was my Jeep. I don't have that Jeep anymore, but I had a Jeep, and it was parked outside the garage, and it was ready to go. That was the dream. That was it. And it stuck with me, but I got up, it stuck with me. I can see it right now as I'm describing it to you, even though it was over 10 years ago. And what was really coming through to me was that Jeep had some representation of the vehicles of ministry that I was engaged in. Some of us at that church at the time were engaged in. And I had the sense that ministry was going to move. When the Jeep was ready to go, get the Jeep and go somewhere else. And the next thing I knew, I was in Phoenix. Now I'm here. So there was something about that God was preparing. Now, about 2 years after that, which is 8 or so years ago, there I am in Phoenix, actually Surprise, Arizona, which was the town we lived in. And I have this dream which lasts maybe 10 seconds. And I'm back in New York City where I went to seminary. And I'm on a street in New York City. And the street is not like any street I remember seeing in New York City when I lived there. But the street is a large hill. And there are some tracks on the street and places for cars and all that. And I'm on a bike. I'm on a bicycle. And I'm going fast down this hill. And that was it. That was the end of the dream. And the sense that I got was it's another vehicle of ministry, the bicycle. And the vehicle was not big enough for the path of ministry that I was in. And that's probably also wider for my whole life. The manner and means and way and tools that I had for what was happening in my life were not quite hefty enough for the road that I was on. And I think that proved to be true. I was in a place there in Phoenix where I just didn't know what I was doing. Not unlike here, actually. That's very, very simple. And it's always finding, what does God want me to do? What does this mean, and what does God want me to do? That was always what was going on. Now, what I want to do this morning, using those two, those are examples of what I want to do with you, is point out a couple of things about dreams from God, and then see what you do with a dream that you get from God. And much as we saw with Pilate and Pilate's wife. And in fact, that's a very interesting dream to begin unpacking. Even though we don't see the content of it, we see the results of it. And here's Pilate, he's in the judgment seat, he's ruler. Judgment means ruler, usually in the scriptures, the person who is governing is the judge. And Pilate is ready to go with releasing someone to the crowd. Barabbas is who he wants to do. Barabbas is who he wants to do. No, Jesus, our Jesus, the Messiah. reason for that is this. People who did what Jesus did in those days were usually not executed if they were arrested. The crime of starting a new religion was not a crime met with death. And the reason for that is that the Romans thought that if we put these people to death, they become martyrs, and it strengthens the cause. So Barabbas, who was a robber, was in a lot of trouble. A robber was a person who was considered an insurrectionist, and you wouldn't be crucified for crimes against the Roman government. So, you know, Pilate here is going along as he usually does and thinks it's going to go his way, and he doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, and Pilate's wife comes out and pushes him in that. He says, you know, Pilate, I'm not at all happy today. You know, if I'm not happy, you're not happy. So, this is the thing, I've suffered a great deal from this dream, and you want nothing to do with Jesus, the Messiah. So Pilate is pushed to do what he wants to do. And you can see Pilate's wife's empathy here, and also responsiveness to dreams. Pilate is thinking, okay, this is great, I'm on the right track. He goes to the crowd, and being pushed like he was, we see the character of the crowd. And the crowd was Jesus the Messiah, crucified. See, the very purpose of the crucifixion is revealed by the prompting of this dream. And the purpose of crucifixion, one of them at least, is that we put our sins on Jesus, and he takes them. Just as an aside, you will find a lot of people who object to the Christian faith because they're thinking God the Father will punish Jesus in order to be appeased for us. He demanded a blood sacrifice. It's really the other way around. We put our sins on Jesus and he takes them. And the Father pours the Spirit into Jesus to overcome sin and death and bring the resurrection. Think about that. Maybe you'll get a dream about that. That dream is what brought out all of that from Pilate's wife, from Pilate, from the crowd. And of course we know the rest of the story, how it went along. Now that can be something that you would see in your dreams from God. Even if you only get a couple of them, like I do, once every few years that last at the most 10 seconds, still from God, still powerful. What can happen with dreams and in our lives, in your life, in my life, is this. They begin bringing us into the dream that God has for our lives and for the world. Now you'll have dreams that are from your own self. I think I have them too. I don't think I remember any of them. In fact, I know I have them. You have them. And they come from within yourself. Something you ate, something tapped in you, something you're trying to work out, where the comfort from within you. And you may actually bring those to someone who does dream interpretation from a secular standpoint, and it just brings out more of who you are, which is absolutely fine, nothing wrong with that at all. And the interpretation normally comes from somewhere else, therapy, and there you go. And that's just absolutely fine. No problem with that at all when it's a dream from within ourselves. However, dreams from God are not from within ourselves. They are from God. They're not part of what's happened to us. They're part of what God is doing within us. God is doing in our lives, the love that he has for us. And so you will find that there is something about a dream from God that has a very powerful and specific manner and effect upon your life. Begins opening things up for you that were not in there before. thought traps into your mind, you know it's from God. You see a picture, and you know it's from God. And, you know, things that we've looked at over the lens, they have a very specific kind of effect upon us. And usually it's something in the present. God is communicating to you, tapping you on the shoulder, whatever it may be, about something like that. In a dream, it would be absolutely normal for you to transcend a dimension. By that I mean, you could have a dream in which you are your present age, but you are in your childhood. That can happen. Or you are brought into the future in some way. You know it's the future. There you are. You transcend a dimension. Also, that God can speak to you in a deeper manner, create a capacity within you that is greater than other ways of communication. Put within your soul an expanse so that you are able then to move into the promise for your life that is yet to be fulfilled. The one that you get a hold of. This morning I was reading, early as I was up praying, where Paul said to Timothy, take hold of the eternal life you have received. But I openly admit, I have no power within myself to take hold of anything God gives me. The only way I can take hold of it is if He gives me the capacity to take hold of it. Sometimes God will use a dream to increase your capacity to take hold of the promise He's speaking to you. That all comes from outside of the Spirit into you, and that capacity is increased. That's what a dream from God does. Remember, don't dismiss other dreams that may be from within your own self, and they're very, very important to our health and all kinds of things. It's the dream from God that creates something within us that wasn't there. That's why keeping in mind that the dream for God is not within you, but it is you being inside the dream of God. Picture God as your life, the purpose for which you were created, the love that He has for you that you barely even catch at this point is all in that dream, and you are being placed in it when God gives you a dream. That's what's drawing you in. Okay. Now, there's a lot more that we could say about that, or what it is, but you're probably catching it. You're probably seeing what's going on with dreams. There is an aspect of engaging with your dream that is absolutely essential in order to be able to walk out what Jesus is giving you when He gives you a dream. It's this. What does it mean? What does this dream mean? So I caught a little bit of that, the dreams from my own life that I shared with you, my Jeep. To me, it's something about the ministry that I'm doing. And that's going to go somewhere. The bicycle is something about the dream, the ministry I'm doing, and I need a bigger one. So I began to see what these things symbolized and what they meant. It is essential to know that before taking any action of any kind about a dream that you get. Necessary. Required. I'm not sure what else to say. You got to get that before you take a step. Because you might not know what step to take. Well, actually, I was just kind of being about that. You won't know what step you take. You just won't know. The step you take might be one you think you want to take, and God has done something to increase within you a capacity that was not there before, and in that increased capacity, there is a step that you would take that you would not have seen in a smaller capacity. That's why it's essential. Absolutely essential. So, let's say you get
as you can see, that's a very different question from, okay, God, I'm going to do this. Would you bless it? Now, if you're anything like me, and some of you are, I'm going for option number two as my default position. So, okay, I got it. You're right. And God said, no. There's more. I want you to have a little more. See, this is the revelation. It's the truth. There's the interpretation, which also comes from God. It's that through that interpretation that you have the application of what that means. All of that comes from God. Because he's giving you a capacity that was not there for you to follow him. Now just to be clear, I know I said it was just to be clear, anything Jesus asks me to do, I am incapable of doing on my own. I just cannot do it. I can't come up with the right way to do it. I don't know what the right step is. If somebody told me what the right step was and that was correct, I do not have any ability at all to do it on my own. I've got to have the power of God to do it. And the first step into that power is saying, okay, what does that mean? I'm going to start getting what that means. My mind is expanding. My ability to perceive the presence of God is expanding. My soul is expanding so that I'm not reactive, but I'm flowing with Him. All my capabilities are being transformed into His likeness. When I ask, what does that mean? What do you want me to know about this? Now, since it's Holy Week and you're here, and I think that's great, and just for a moment, I want to know, do any of you have a question about any of this before I give you something to take home? Okay, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I just don't do that much. Now, if you think of a question later, feel free to ask me. It's one of my favorite subjects. Okay. I have a take home. Because I just don't want to tell you, you must interpret your dreams and that's it. And say goodbye. I have a way for you to approach that you can get. And it's two sides. Room for you to work on. Could you help on that side? Richard, could you help on this? Thanks. As that goes around, this is all it would be great if I have a red pencil.
I just like to ask, when having the dreams, how would you find a better way to interpret?
Yeah, excellent question. Gage is asking. Yeah. But if you run out, how about that? It's a religious revival.
We can make up. Thank
you for wanting to have it. Yeah. But Gage just asked, what if you don't understand your dream? How do you go to interpret it? So, did you notice the question? If I don't understand the dream, how am I going to figure out what it means? Let me just put it this way. You're not going to understand the dream. And you're not going to know what it means on your own, by yourself, until God tells you what it means. You will not have understanding of the dream. Is that okay? Just expecting that you would understand the dream and then come up with your own interpretation is going to take you that long. interpretation of your dream with your God. Paragraph method. So you write the date, and then you come up with a title for the dream. My first dream would have been Jeep and the Triangle. That would have been the title. And my second dream would have been Life in a Big Road. So you come up with a dream, because that helps you get the focus that God's given you. And then you write out the plot, paragraph, two paragraphs, whatever it is, just as if you're writing an essay. And that just helps you get so that when you go to God asking for the interpretation, those details are right in front of you. The other side, for those of you who are more adventurous,